The lives of the prophets. The names of the prophets and where they are from and where they died and how and where they lie. Isaiah. Isaiah from Jerusalem died under Manasseh by being sawn in two, and was buried underneath the oak of Rogel, near the place where the path crosses the aqueduct, whose water Hezekiah shut off by blocking its source. And God worked the miracle of Siloam for the prophet's sake, and for being faint before he died, he prayed for water to drink, and immediately it was sent to him from it. Therefore it is called Siloam, which means sent. And in the time of Hezekiah, before he made the cisterns and the pools, in response to the prayer of Isaiah, a little water came out, for the nation was being besieged by foreigners, and this happened in order that the city might not perish for lack of water. For the enemies were asking, "From where are they drinking?" And having the city under siege, they were encamped at Siloam. If then the Jews were coming, water would come out, but if foreigners approached, it would not. Wherefore, to this day, it comes out intermittently, in order that the mystery may be manifested. And since this happened through Isaiah, as a memorial of it, the nation also buried him nearby, with care and in great honor, so that through his prayers, even after his death, they might enjoy the benefit of the water. For an oracle also was given to them concerning him. His tomb is near the tomb of the kings, west of the tomb of the priests in the southern part of the city. For Solomon made the tombs in accordance with David's design, east of Zion, which has an entrance from Gabaon, 20 stadia distant from the city. And he made a secret construction with winding passages, and it is to this day unknown to most. There the king kept the gold from Ethiopia and the spices. And because Hezekiah showed the Gentiles the secrets of David and Solomon and defiled the bones of the place of his fathers, God swore that his offspring should be enslaved to his enemies. And God made him sterile from that day. Jeremiah was from Anathoth, and he died in Taphanai of Egypt, having been stoned by his people. And he was buried in the environs of Pharaoh's place, because the Egyptians held him in high esteem, having been benefited through him. For he prayed, and the asps left them, and the monsters of the waters, which the Egyptians called Nephoth, and the Greeks crocodiles. And those who are God's faithful pray at the place to this very day, and taking the dust of the place, they heal asps' bites. And we have heard from the children of Antigonus and Ptolemy, old men, that Alexander the Macedonian, after standing at the prophet's grave and witnessing his mysteries, transferred his remains to Alexandria and placed them in a circle around the city with due honor. And the whole race of asps was kept from the land, and from the river likewise the crocodiles. And to the same end he induced the snakes, which are called Argolai, which means snake fighters, which he brought from Argos of the Peloponnesus, whence they are also called Argolai, that is, fortunate ones from Argos. For everything fortunate they call Laia. This Jeremiah gave a sign to the priests of Egypt, that it was decreed that their idols should be shaken and collapse, through a savior, a child born of a virgin, in a manger. Wherefore, even to this day, they revere a virgin giving birth, and placing an infant in a manger, they worship. And when Ptolemy the king inquired about the cause, they said, "It is an ancestral in a sackcloth, put off your waist, and by a holy prophet, and we are to await," he says, "the consummation of his mystery. This prophet, before the capture of the temple, seized the ark of the law and the things in it, and made them to be swallowed up in a rock. And to those standing by, he said, 'The Lord has gone away from Zion into heaven, and will come again in power, and this will be for you a sign of his coming, when all the Gentiles worship a piece of wood.' And he said, 'This ark no one is going to bring out except Aaron, and none of the priests or prophets will any longer open the tablets in it except Moses, God's chosen one. And in the resurrection, the ark will be the first to be resurrected, and will come out of the rock and be placed on Mount Sinai, and all the saints will be gathered to it there as they await the Lord and flee from the enemy who wishes to destroy them. In the rock, with his finger, he set as a seal the name of God, and the impression was like a carving made with iron, and a cloud covered the name, and no one knows the place, nor is able to read the name to this day, and to the consummation. And the rock is in the wilderness, where the ark was at first, between the two mountains on which Moses and Aaron lie. And at night there is a cloud like fire, just like the ancient one, for the glory of God will never cease from his law. And God bestowed this favor upon Jeremiah, that he might himself perform the completion of his mystery, so that he might become a partner of Moses, and they are together to this day. This man was from the land of Aria, of the priests, and he died in the land of the Chaldeans during the captivity, after having prophesied many things to those in Judea. The ruler of the people Israel killed him there as he was being reproved by him concerning the worship of idols, and they buried him in the field of Maor, in the grave of Shem and Arpachshad, ancestors of Abraham. And the tomb is a double cave, for Abraham also made Sarah's tomb in Hebron like it. It is called double because there is a twisting passage in an upper room which is hidden from the ground floor, and it is hung over the ground level in the cliff. This prophet gave a portent to the people so that they should pay attention to the river Shebar. When it failed, they should set their hope in the scythe which desolates to the end of the earth, and when it flooded, in the return to Jerusalem. For the saint also lived there, and many used to congregate to him. And once, when there was a multitude with him, the Chaldeans were afraid that they would rebel, and came up against them to destroy them. And he made the water stop so that they might escape by getting to the other side. And those of the enemies who dared to pursue were drowned. Through prayer he furnished them of his own accord with an abundant supply of fish, for many who were at the point of dying entreated that life should come from God. When the people was being destroyed by its enemies, he went to the enemy leaders, and terrified by the prodigies they seized, he used to say this to them, "Are we lost? Has our hope perished?" And in the wonder of the dead bones, he persuaded them that there is hope for Israel, both here and in the coming age. While he was there, he used to show the people Israel what was happening in Jerusalem and in the temple. He was snatched up from there, and he went to Jerusalem to rebuke those who were faithless. Like Moses, this man saw the pattern of the temple, with its wall and broad outer wall, just as Daniel also said that it would be built. He pronounced judgment in Babylon on the tribe of Dan and that of Gad, because they were committing sacrilege against the Lord by persecuting those who were keeping the law. In respecting them, he worked this great wonder, that snakes would devour their infants and all their flocks, and he foretold that on their account the people would not return to its land, but would be in Media until the consummation of their error. And the one who killed him was one of them, for they opposed him all the days of his life. Daniel. This man was of the tribe of Judah, of the family of those prominent in the royal service. But while yet a child, he was taken from Judea to the land of the Chaldeans. He was born in Upper Beth Horon, and he was a chaste man, so that the Judeans thought he was a eunuch. He mourned greatly over the city, and in fasts he abstained from all desirable food. And he was a man gaunt in appearance, but beautiful in the favor of the Most High. He prayed much for Nebuchadnezzar, at the entreaty of his son Baltasar, when he became a wild animal and beast of the field, so that he might not perish. His fore parts with his head were like that of an ox, and the feet and the hind parts like that of a lion. Concerning this mystery, it was revealed to the holy man that Nebuchadnezzar had become a beast of the field because he was fond of pleasure and stiff-necked, and because those who belong to Beliar become like an ox under yoke. Tyrants have these vices in their youth. In the end they become monsters, seizing, destroying, killing, and smiting. Through divine revelation the saint knew that he was eating grass like an ox, and that it became human food. It was also for this reason that Nebuchadnezzar, recovering a human heart after digestion, used to weep and honor the Lord, praying 40 times each day and night. Behemoth used to come upon him, and he would forget that he had been a man. His tongue was taken from him so that he might not speak, and perceiving this, he immediately wept, and his eyes were like raw flesh from crying, for many were going out of the city and gazing at him. Daniel alone did not wish to see him, because he was in prayer for him the whole time of his changed condition, and he kept saying, "He will become a man again," and they did not believe him. Daniel made the 7 years, which he called the 7 seasons, become 7 months. The mystery of the seven seasons was accomplished in his case, for he was restored in 7 months. During the 6 years and 6 months remaining, he prostrated himself to the Lord and confessed his impiety. And after the forgiveness of his wickedness, he restored him to the kingdom. He neither ate bread nor meat, nor drank wine as he made his confession, for Daniel had ordered him to appease the Lord with a diet of soaked pulse and greens. Nebuchadnezzar called him Belteshazzar because he wanted to make him joint heir with his children. But the holy man said, "Far be it from me to leave the heritage of my fathers and cleave to the inheritances of the uncircumcised." And for the other kings of the Persians he wrought many prodigies, which they did not write down. There he died, and was buried by himself, and with great honor in the royal grotto. And he gave a portent with respect to the mountains which are above Babylon. When the mountain on the north smokes, the end of Babylon is coming. And when it lies in a fire, the end of all the earth. And if the mountain in the south pours forth water, the people will return to its land. And if it pours forth blood, Belial's slaughter will take place on all the earth. And the holy men fell asleep in peace. Hosea. This man was from Belamoth, of the tribe of Issachar, and he was buried in his own district in peace. And he gave a portent that the Lord would arrive upon the earth if ever the oak which is in Shiloh were divided from itself, and 12 oaks came to be. Micah, the Morathite, was of the tribe of Ephraim. Having done many things to Ahab, he was killed by Joram his son at a cliff because he rebuked him for the impieties of his fathers. And he was buried in his own district by himself, near the burial ground of the Anakim. Amos was from Tekoa, and when Amaziah had tortured him sorely, at last his son also killed him with a club by striking him on the temple. And while he was still breathing, he went to his own district, and after some days died and was buried there. Joel was from the territory of Reuben, in the countryside of Bethhoron. He died in peace and was buried there. Obadiah was from the district of Shechem, of the countryside of Bethhoron. This man was a disciple of Elijah, and endured much because of him, and escaped with his life. This was the third captain of 50 whom Elijah spared, and with whom he went down to Ahaziah. After these events he left the service of the king and prophesied, and he died and was buried with his fathers. Jonah was from the district of Kiriathmos, near the Greek city of Azotus by the sea. And when he had been cast forth by the sea monster, and had gone away to Nineveh, and had returned, he did not remain in his district. But taking his mother along, he sojourned in Soer, a territory inhabited by foreign nations. For he said, "So shall I remove my reproach, for I spoke falsely in prophesying against the great city of Nineveh." At that time Elijah was rebuking the house of Ahab, and when he had invoked famine upon the land, he fled. And he went and found the widow with her son, for he could not stay with uncircumcised people, and blessing her. And when her son died, God raised him again from the dead through Elijah, for he wanted to show him that it is not possible to run away from God. And after the famine he arose and went to the land of Judah. And when his mother died along the way, he buried her near Deborah's oak. And after sojourning in the land of Sarar, he died and was buried in the cave of Kenaz, who became judge of one tribe in the days of the anarchy. And he gave a portent concerning Jerusalem and the whole land, that whenever they should see a stone crying out piteously that the end was at hand, and whenever they should see all the Gentiles in Jerusalem, the entire city would be razed to the ground. Nahum was from Elkesai, on the other side of the Isbegarin, of the tribe of Simeon. After Jonah, this man gave to Nineveh a portent that it should be destroyed by fresh water and an underground fire, which also happened. For from the lake which surrounds it inundated it during an earthquake, and fire coming from the wilderness burned its higher section. He died in peace and was buried in his own district. Habakkuk was of the tribe of Simeon, from the country of Bethzukar. Before the captivity, he had a vision concerning the conquest of Jerusalem, and he mourned greatly. And when Nebuchadnezzar entered the city, he fled to Ostrakim, and later sojourned in the land of Ishmael. When the Chaldeans turned back, and the remnant that was in Jerusalem went to Egypt, he was living in his own district, and ministering to those who were harvesting his field. When he took the food, he prophesied to his own family, saying, I am going to a far country, and I will come quickly, but if I delay, take food to the harvesters. And when he had gone to Babylon and given the meal to Daniel, he approached the harvesters as they were eating and told no one what had happened. He understood that the people would soon return from Babylon, and he died 2 years before the return, and he was buried alone in his own field. He gave a portent to those in Judea, that they would see a light in the temple, and so perceive the glory of the temple. And concerning the end of the temple, he predicted, by a western nation it will happen. At that time, he said, the curtain of the Debair will be torn into small pieces, and the capitals of the two pillars will be taken away, and no one will know where they are. And they will be carried away by angels into the wilderness, where the tent of witness was set up in the beginning. And by means of them the Lord will be recognized at the end, for they will illuminate those who are being pursued by the serpent in darkness as from the beginning. Zephaniah was of the tribe of Simeon, of the countryside of Sabaratha. He prophesied concerning the city and about the end of the Gentiles and the shaming of the impious. And he died and was buried in his field. Haggai, who was also the messenger, came from Babylon to Jerusalem, probably as a youth, and he openly prophesied concerning the return of the people, and witnessed in part the building of the temple. And when he died, he was buried near the tomb of the priests, in great honor as they were they. Zechariah came from Chaldea, when he was already well advanced in years, and there he prophesied many things to the people, and gave portents as proof. This man told Jozadak that he would beget a son, and that he would serve as priest in Jerusalem. He also pronounced a blessing upon Shealtiel at the birth of his son, and named him Zerubbabel. And concerning Cyrus, he gave a portent of his victory, and prophesied regarding the service which he was to perform for Jerusalem, and he blessed him greatly. His prophesying in Jerusalem was based on his visions about the end of the Gentiles, Israel, the temple, the laziness of prophets and priests, and he set forth the twofold judgment. And he died when he had attained a great age, and when he expired, he was buried near Haggai. Malachi. This man was born in Sophah after the return, and while still a very young man, he led a virtuous life. And since the whole people honored him as a holy and gentle, it called him Malachi, which means angel, for he was indeed beautiful to behold. Moreover, whatever he himself said in prophecy, on the same day an angel of God appeared and repeated it, as happened also in the days of the anarchy as written in the Sfarfotim, that is, in the book of Judges. And while he was still a young man, he was added to his fathers in his own field. Nathan, David's prophet, was from Gabaa, and it was he who taught him the law of the Lord. And he saw that David would transgress in the Bathsheba affair, and while he was hastening to go and tell him, Beliark hindered him, for by the road he found a dead man who had been murdered lying naked, and he remained there, and that night he knew that David had committed the sin. And he returned weeping, and when David killed her husband, the Lord sent him to rebuke him. And when he had grown very old, he died and was buried in his own district. Ahijah was from Shiloh, where the tabernacle was in ancient times, of Eli's city. This man said concerning Solomon that he would give offense to the Lord, and he rebuked Jeroboam, because he was going to walk deceitfully with the Lord. He saw a yoke of oxen trampling the people and running against the priests. He also foretold to Solomon that his wives would change him and all his posterity, and he died and was buried near the oak of Shiloh. Joad was from Samarim. This is the one whom the lion attacked, and he died, when he rebuked Jeroboam over the calves, and he was buried in Bethel near the false prophet who deceived him. Azariah was from the district of Sibatha. It was he who turned from Israel the captivity of Judah, and he died and was buried in his own field. Elijah, the Thesbite, from the land of the Arabs, of Aaron's tribe, was living in Gilead, for Thesbah was given to the priests. When he was to be born, his father, Sobaachah, saw that men of shining white appearance were greeting him and wrapping him in fire, and they gave him flames of fire to eat. And he went and reported this in Jerusalem. And the oracle told him, "Do not be afraid, for his dwelling will be the light, and his word judgment, and he will judge Israel." The signs which he did are these. Elijah prayed, and it did not rain for 3 years. And after 3 years he prayed again, and abundant rain came. In Zarephath of Sidon, through the word of the Lord, he made the jar of the widow not to fail, and the flask of oil not to diminish. Her son, who had died, God raised from the dead after Elijah prayed. When the question was posed by him and the prophets of Baal concerning who is the true and real God, he prophesied that a sacrifice be offered both by him and by them, and that fire not be placed under it, but that each should pray, and the one answering him would be God. Accordingly, the prophets of Baal prayed and cut themselves until the ninth hour, and no one answered them. And Elijah, when he had filled the place where the sacrifice was with much water, also prayed, and immediately the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, and the water was gone. And all blessed God and killed the 450 prophets of Baal. And when King Ahaziah sent to obtain an oracle from idols, Elijah prophesied death, and he died. When 250 were sent to him from Ahaziah, the king of Israel, he invoked the Lord, and fire came down from heaven. And the fire consumed them at the Lord's command. Ravens brought him bread in the morning and meat in the afternoon. With a sheepskin he struck the Jordan, and it was divided. And they crossed over with dry feet, both he and Elisha. Finally, he was taken up in a chariot of fire. Elisha was from Abel-Meholah in the land of Reuben. And a marvel occurred concerning this man. For he was born in Gilgal. The golden calf bellowed shrilly, so that it was heard in Jerusalem. And the priest declared through the Urim that a prophet had been born to Israel who would destroy their carved images and molten idols. And when he died, he was buried in Samaria. The signs which he did are these. He too struck the Jordan with Elijah's sheepskin, and the water was divided, and he too passed over with dry feet. The water in Jericho was foul and sterile. And hearing this from the city's residents, he invoked God and said, "I am healing this water, and no longer will death and sterility issue from it." And the water remained healed to this day. When children treated him disrespectfully, he cursed them, and two bears came out and tore to pieces 42 of them. The wife of a prophet who had died was being pestered by creditors and was unable to pay. She came to Elisha, and he commanded her to gather new vessels, as many as she could, and to pour the jar containing very little oil into them until the vessels were full. And she did this, and filled the vessels, and repaid her creditors, and she had the surplus for the sustenance of her children. He went to Shunem, and stayed with a certain widow. She was not able to bear a child, but earnestly desired to have one. He prayed and made her able to conceive and give birth. Then, when the child died, he prayed again and raised it from the dead. He went to Gilgal and was brought before the sons of the prophets, and when the food was boiled, and a deadly herb was boiled with the food, and they were all on the brink of danger, he made the food harmless and sweet. When the sons of the prophets were felling trees by the Jordan, the axe head fell off and sank, and Elisha, praying, made the axe head float to the surface. Through him Naaman the Syrian was cleansed of leprosy. When his servant, named Gehazi, went to Naaman secretly against his wishes and asked for silver, and later upon returning denied it, Elisha rebuked and cursed him, and he became a leper. When the king of Syria was making war against Israel, he protected the king of Israel by announcing to him the plans of the enemy. When the king of Syria learned this, he sent a force to bring the prophet, but he prayed and made them to be struck with blindness, and he led them to Samaria to their enemies. But keeping them unharmed, he preserved and fed them. When the king of Syria learned this, he stopped making war. After Elisha's death, a man died, and he was being buried and thrown onto his bones. And just as he touched Elisha's bones, the dead man revived immediately. Zechariah was from Jerusalem. son of Jehoiada the priest, and Joash the king of Judah killed him near the altar, and the house of David poured out his blood in front of the Ahilam, and the priest took him and buried him with his father. From that time visible portents occurred in the temple, and the priests were not able to see a vision of angels of God, or to give oracles from Dabair, or to inquire by the ephod, or to answer the people through Urim as formerly. And the other prophets became hidden, whose names are contained in their genealogies in the books of the names of Israel, for the whole race of Israel are enrolled by name.